Welcome to Butte Views and Beyond. My name is Ray Locker. I'll be your host this evening. Had some nice interviews. Thank you, Robert, for another wonderful program. Where else do you get philosophy on air? I'm telling you, this is just the way it is. We got Butte Views and Beyond coming up. We talk about different cultural assets in our area, arts, culture, activities, economic development driven through the arts, things like that, things that make living someplace special, right? Nobody says, you know what, I'm going to move to the best dang highway system in the country. Nah, you don't do that. You go to a cool place. You go to a place that you relate to. You go to a place where you find your community. You go to a place that's beautiful and gets you in touch with what you want. And that's why we found ourselves here. And wherever you are, wherever you're picking up our broadcast, because we stream worldwide, we are all here and we're all together. And we hope that you are in a place like that. And if not, that someday you will. So we do have a trying to make a little money today during our fall pledge drive. As you know the number, I'll just read it one more time, 530-895-0131. You can go to Venmo at KZFR901. You can go to KZFR.org online. You'll see all the clickables. And they could text pledge KZFR to 44321. And that takes us to a blast off. So we're going to get started with our program here in just a minute. And again, thank you for tuning in to Butte Views and Beyond. We're made possible by Friends of the Arts, your state local partner to the California Arts Council. Since 2001, Friends of the Arts has been creating economic opportunity by producing and supporting events and publishing a bi-monthly arts and culture newsletter. To stay in the know or have your event listed, visit friendsof.art. And also by Tires Plus, complete auto repair. The technicians at Tires Plus provide year-round services and maintenance for your vehicle, including scheduled maintenance, oil changes, AC and cooling systems, powder coating, engine repair, heating and cooling, Cooper and Michelin tires, and Ag tires, too, all at 624 Broadway. Tires Plus, complete auto repair, can be reached at 530-342-8338, tiresplus.com. And, of course, on Facebook. All righty, let's get right to our first interview. Kind of a local Chico icon. I'll let her introduce herself. I'd like to welcome artist, muralist, educator, entrepreneur, Christine McShane. Welcome to Butte Views and Beyond.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
So, once again, this is part of our Upstate Creative California grantee interviews, and Christine was selected out of 57 applications for her project, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But it's as we've talked about before on the show, it's a really exciting event. We brought in over $326,000 coming into Butte County specifically to the artists and for support of their projects, be that equipment, you know, studio space, those kind of things. So that money stays locally for the most part, which is really exciting, which is really the
impetus of these grants is to help stimulate arts locally in the 19 northernmost counties in California. So we're excited about that. And hats off to the California Arts Council for making that happen. So, Christine, you've done a lot of different things in your past. And obviously, you're continuing with new things. Let's go back to your some of your murals.
Yeah.
When did that start?
Well, you know, actually around about 30 years ago, you know, I've always painted and I had been doing commissioned work and various things. And, you know, the whole interior home mural thing had really kind of taken the wave had started. And so I kind of came in at the right time. And then that as from there, it kind of progressed to more of the outside murals and things. So that's just been kind of a staple now to sort of as it comes through, you know, and I've learned to I often get asked to do murals that aren't really me, what I can do without, you know, grunting and groaning and crying. So I tend to pass those over to the newer other kids and people who are doing murals. And so in that way, it's sort of a really nice community collaborative thing to do, because I think amongst the muralists in town, I think we're all pretty aware of whose style is what, and we're kind of created a nice group of people who do a lot of different kind of murals. But yeah, so mine just kind of developed from the early 2000s, late 1990s.
And then so where now you have some in Oroville, correct?
Yeah, so when you're coming down Montgomery Street. When you're coming down Montgomery Street heading west, there's that big kind of fruit and agricultural mural on Downer. So I have that. And then there's a sort of a few smaller ones. I think they're still there. But yeah, I have those. I did a part of the collective of murals at the In Motion Fitness, the new outside track that they've done. And I've done quite a bit of repair work and additional work on the inside there. And recently just finished helping doing a granted mural on the back of the Monca building, the Museum of Northern California Art, in collaboration with the Chico High and Inspire students.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah, we put that together.
So that's great.
Yeah.
Great. Now, another hat let's touch on a couple of things, because you have such a dynamic and diverse background. You also produced a television program through BTAC, and now it's on public television.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, I originally started by doing a TV, weekly TV segment on KHSL and Channel 12 and so on. And the television station producer, Tricia Coder, and I, when all of the sort of downturn happened in the economy around 2008 and so on, really kind of picked up steam. And I said, you know, I think we can really make something of this. So we created a show called Within Your Reach. We went to different artists in the area and kind of was sort of a bit like that Mike Rowe show where he goes and tries their jobs while I was doing their artwork. But then from that, I started doing the online step-by-step classes, and we worked through the BCAC TV downtown creating that, and then we took that up to the PBS station in Reading, and it aired there as well. So there's been a couple of those as well.
Yeah, that's got to be fun.
I really, really enjoyed it. It was very, just at the time, it was very difficult to get sponsorship to go forward with more shows. And so that's kind of where they stayed. So, but they're still rotating out there in the ethers somewhere.
Yeah, so. Well, that's it. I'm sure you can find them on YouTube somewhere.
Yes, totally. Yeah, yeah.
Very fun. Well, tell us about your latest project with the Upstate Creative California Corps.
It's called the Labels Project, and essentially it was from a concept that I had during the last several years where everything became so nakedly divisive. you know, in the world in many ways, in all forms. And I thought, you know, if we could just not have to die on the hill of being right about everything, could we hear the other person and just understand that it's never the one thing, it's never just what you are being presented. And from that, we narrowed it down to the first of the subject in the project, which we're doing is homelessness at this moment. And so what I'm hoping to do, we're working through the Jesus Center and their many, the pallet shelter and so on. And I'm working with a group of homeless people who are doing some writing workshops with myself and Dori Mora, otherwise known as Dori McKay, and we're being filmed by Chris Smith, who's a documentarian in the area. And so the three of us are sort of putting together this documentary and an exhibit that will be shown at the Museum of Northern California Art in March. And so it's kind of an experience where what we're asking the viewer to do is to come in and see what these people have written. We're going to have an art element to it as well. And we will also be having, my hope is to put together sort of a replica of one of the pallet shelters. So you can go in and feel what it feels like to be in there. And just the way it's going to be set up is to just ask the questions. There isn't an agenda where you need to come out thinking differently, or it's not going to be an assault on what you do think. It's just, hey, here's this, here's that. Does this open up a thought for you that possibly there's another way to approach the problem, or to approach these people, or just to soften the fear that most of us respond to these very volatile situations from, and we react to these things rather than respond to the deeper issues. And so when I saw the grant, I thought, what a wonderful opportunity, because it's one of the very few places where the artist is lead rather than having to attach to a nonprofit and then try to work through it. The nonprofit is reaching out and saying, you know, artists do have an effect on community and things that are going on. And so I'm really happy to be part of all of that.
Yeah, I love the fact that you're just really putting it out there and creating the conversation, because, I mean, and we're all guilty of this. I see things every day and, you know, my mind goes black and white, and life is not black and white. And the truth is, we're all out there. Everybody's out there. Mm-hmm. And we are all.
Well, I think we have more in common than we.
Yeah.
We have more in common than we have differences. But
totally.
Sometimes just to survive the day, we have to create these lines that say you can't cross that line because you're that, because I don't want to have to deal with you, you know, and because there's a lot of stuff coming at us, especially right now, you know, and so we can't deal with all of it. So we do, you know, compartmentalize things, and sometimes not in a very productive or healthy or empathetic way.
Yeah, no, very true. And I mean, obviously, the cause and effect is so deep, but we live in a time now where we don't share information. We only seek the information that supports our feeling and that moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and 20 years ago, before everyone dove so deeply into their own media source or social media or, you know, whatever you want to call it, we shared information. Like, here's the news, and then we all took it in and understood it and had conversations about it. We don't do that anymore.
No, it's become about winning. And yeah. I'm going to win at any cost. And so we can't have a disagreement. You know, and quite frankly, it's like with some of the hot topics, it's dangerous to have an opinion publicly. You know, there's just too many access points for people to hurt you or to hurt people you love and to damage. So it's a little scarier than, if you really put your mind to it, it's actually a scarier time than you really want to believe it is. So, I get it. We want to preserve the things that make our life feel good and the people around us feel good. But there's a big expense for that too, I suppose. But yeah. Anyway, so I'm trying to find and create a place where there's a safe leveling field, that it isn't inflammatory. It's just, you know, hey, you know, here's a thought. If it creeps in, I really would, that's great. We'll celebrate that. And maybe it'll do a little something.
Yeah. And the truth is, there is no right and wrong answers. It's think about things, think before you react.
Correct. Yeah. Yep.
I mean, that's pretty much life in a nutshell. And unfortunately, like I said, it seems that these days that time period is a millisecond.
Yes. It is. Everything happens immediately. The immediacy of everything is kind of scary, you know.
Yeah, I concur.
Yeah.
Well, very exciting project. Please, let's check in again as it comes along. And when the opening comes up in that, I'm sure we'd love to talk about it. Inviting everyone back to kind of, you know, bring us up to speed on the different projects that they're doing. So it's pretty exciting to see these things develop and move along.
Lovely. That'd be great.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for taking time to join us. Do you have anything? Do you have a website or anything that you want to mention?
Well, currently I'm putting it up on Facebook at the moment. I think we also have an Instagram account, and you can just go to my Christine McShane Facebook account, and it's one of the pages that comes through from there at the moment. So,
all right, very good.
Yeah, and we'll post that all up there all the time.
All right, excellent. Well, thank you so much for taking time with us, and we look forward to checking in again.
Thanks so much. All right.
Have a great evening. Bye-bye.
Thank you, too.
And we are having our fall pledge drive here at KZFR. We'd love to get your support. If you've never donated, or maybe it's been a while, we've got a goal of 100 new contributors to KZFR in our 10-day run. 10 a day? Not impossible. We'd love for you to make that call and make that commitment at any level. Very simple. We can use the phone, 530-895-0131. You can do it online. If you go to kzfr.org or our Facebook page, you'll see a lot of our premiums. I'm looking at these pretty rad KZFR socks. Yes, believe it or not, KZFR socks this year. Years in the making, and they have finally arrived. So you can also text pledge KZFR to 44321 or Venmo at KZFR901. Pretty simple. 895-0131 is the number to call. Operators standing by.
Well, it's a pleasure to welcome a couple of guests here this evening on Butte Views and Beyond. Kathleen Dysart, who is the board president of the Paradise Arts Center, and then also Steve Fischot, who's also an illustrator, muralist, and artist. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Good to be here.
Thanks for inviting us.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Kathleen, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you have coming up? I understand you're getting ready for the a remembrance of the fifth anniversary of the campfire.
Absolutely, we are. It will be held on November 5th, and that's the same day that the town's going to be giving away free daffodil bulbs and also doing an initial annual planting that they hope to repeat every year, where volunteers go out and plant volunteer bulbs. Probably, I think they're starting along the walking trail.
Okay.
And that will be all over here at Community Park, which is where the depot is. The museum is also putting on an exhibit at the depot museum there about the campfire. So it'll be something nice to, you know, come and visit and spend the day there. And the Arts Center, though, is located just a short block down the alley across from the park. We're faced onto Almond Street, and we're having quite the day. We're starting out at 11 o'clock with the opening of our Fired Arts and Art Show with the theme Art in Motion. And so we're going to have that going all day until 6. After the daffodil stuff is all done at 2 o'clock, the chamber is going to be here, and we're going to dedicate the mural that Steve is currently working on. And I think I'll let Steve tell you about the mural and what it symbolizes and why it's important to be dedicated during our 5th anniversary.
Yes, the mural basically depicts as if you're looking down at an artist station or his work desk. And so you see a painting going in progress, starting from the pencil to pen and ink to watercolor, then to a finished piece. And you can see all the art supplies around it. Now, why this is important or dedicated to Paradise and the anniversary is the painting does start out like bland, like pencil and then pen and ink, black and white, because that's how Paradise looked right after the fire. But it shows how it transitions to this more colorful painting, which is happening to Paradise right now. And in the very last part of the painting are these daffodils popping out of the painting, showing that Paradise is growing and the art center is growing.
Wow, that's what a great concept. I absolutely love that.
And the daffodils, of course, is the town's official flower.
Oh, I didn't know that.
As we're coming up here in that January and February, and we're sifting through, you know, ankle deep in ash, and it's black and white and horrible and miserable, and it snowed, and whenever all of a sudden, all of these daffodils started appearing through the ash and through the snow. It was the first bit of color we saw. Uh-huh. It was, you know, the daffodil is known as the harbinger of hope, and it just gave us promises. And at here at the 5th anniversary, we're seeing some of those promises start to come true.
Yes, it was Kathy's idea to add the daffodils to the painting, which I just totally loved because it added a nice little pop out to the whole painting itself. So,
oh, it sounds incredible. It sounds incredible. Now, this is no small feat, if I understand. We're not, when we talk about a painting, we're talking about we're talking about a 40-foot mural. Is that correct?
That is correct.
That
yes.
That is correct.
It's intimidating when you first look at that blank wall, I tell you. Yeah.
So we're talking, I mean, 40 feet, that's a major piece. I mean, you know, you see most murals and it's, you know, a wall or, you know, something. So 40 by 22, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Plus, I do need to say it's not just us that did it, but we have our local, some of our local companies have helped us out too.
Oh,
Ace
nice.
Hardware has donated all of the paint supplies. Remax, Brian Voigt, did all of the pressure washing. Rop Painting has done all the surface prep, and then we'll do also the sealing of it when it's all done. Your niece is volunteering.
Yeah, she lives up here in Magalia. She's a Chico State art student, and she volunteered to help with the painting on days that she could. And she's been incredible to work with, actually. So I'm very pleased that she is doing it.
Oh, that's amazing. And again, you know, you see the community coming together. Now, maybe people don't know where Almond Street is. I actually lived in Paradise for 24 years, and I actually had some property on Almond. But it's just really, what is it, two blocks off of Skyway, one block off Skyway?
Yeah, it's about two blocks off. Almond, by the way, is going to be the new downtown, as is Black Olive. So if you're coming up the Skyway, you turn right on Pearson, you mm-hmm. go up to the top of the hill, and you turn left, and you will see a big blue awning, and that's where the art center is.
Oh, very nice. Very nice.
And you see the painting itself, the mural
yes.
from Pearson. So,
oh, you will. You'll see it from that side.
It may have just been started, but it's very visible.
Wow. So you've got some painting to do, huh, Steve?
Oh, yeah. By November 5th, and tomorrow it's supposed to rain, and we'll see how that goes. Yeah, because the last time it rained, Brianna, the student who's helping me, we were actually trying to paint in the rain, you know. So
amazing.
Yeah, I appreciate that dedication from her. So,
oh yeah, well it's a fabulous project, and I love the fact that you will be able to see it from Pearson, which again, if people don't realize, maybe they do or don't, but that's a main thoroughfare that connects you to the three main roads of Paradise: Skyway, Billy, and Pence Road. So if you, the first one you get to, that's Pearson or cuts over there. Very, very nice. And then what else do you have going at the art center?
Yeah, well, we're rededicating our, let's see, Little Free Gallery. And that's where we have little volunteers do little works of art. They're put in the Little Free Gallery and people can take one for free. They can leave one, take one, anything you want. That'll be right in front of the art center.
Now, is that like a, is that kind of like a free library?
Like a free little library. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, how cute.
Oh, and man. It's wonderful to see the kids that come to do them. I love looking in the window because the parent will come up and the kid gets to take a little piece of art. And it's wonderful to see how that is. Though a lot of the adults also come up and take free art. I've done it myself. So that's being rededicated. We'll have a wonderful reception going on for the pottery and show. And so that'll be from 2:30 to 6 in there. And then we have another very talented artist by the name of Joanne Graham, who is an exceptional painter of animals. Hmm. So she wanted to do a little fundraiser for the art center. So she basically said, went on Facebook and said, hey, I'm willing to do a portrait in pastels of one of the canine officers at Paradise Police Department to give to the police department if you give donations to the art center during the period of time that I'm doing that. So with that in mind, she is also finishing her portrait of the canine officer named Titan, whose handler is Robert Kittering.
Okay.
And they will be doing a demonstration of canine, what the canine dogs do. It may be more than just Titan. And then after that, we will be presenting the police department officially with this absolutely fabulous portrait.
It's incredible. Animal portraits.
If you go on our Facebook community page, you will be able to see both Steve's work and Joanne's work there of how.
Oh, very good. Very good. Along. And that's Paradise Art Center.
Paradise Art Center Community on our Facebook page.
Facebook community page. Okay, very good. Very good. Well, we're getting about to the end of our time here, but let's kind of give a little recap. So the dedication to the mural, the daffodil giveaway, that's all on the 5th. Is that correct?
All of these events are on the 5th.
Okay, November 5th, which is a Sunday, and it's also the day we do the daylight saving thing. So there
you go. Oh, yeah, isn't that fun?
Well, we'll be driving home in the dark. Let's put it that way. And the Paradise Arts Center, what's the address up there?
5564 Almond.
5564 Almond, and it's just off of the Skyway.
Yes.
And it sounds like things started about 11 in the morning, huh?
We're going to be open 11 to 6, so come in and you can take a tour of the place. We've been on the ridge for 58 years now. Incorporated on the ridge. We actually started in 1950, but we incorporated in 1966. So,
yeah, 1966.
We've been around a long time.
Well, I moved up to Paradise in 1991 and moved up from Sonoma County and lived off of Pence. And then I lived also off of Wagstaff. Loved every minute. And then my life changed, got remarried. Came with kids and decided driving up and down from high school to high school probably wasn't a great idea. So we'll just settle in Chico for a while. So, but my heart is always up there. And again, it's just, you know, it's just
a wonderful place to live. I wouldn't have it any other way. Steve and I both lost everything in the fire, but no place we would have returned to.
Yeah, I just moved back in August. Finally had my house built. So I'm back up here now, and I'm so happy to be here. It's home.
Yeah. Well, and it's coming back, too. And, you know, I mean, I get up there, at least once a month, maybe every 3 or 4 weeks, and you kind of see the change and the progressions and those kind of things. So it's really heartwarming to see. And I want to thank you guys once again for all your hard work and everything that the Paradise Art Center has done over the years. You've got has a long illustrious history as well. So
thank you.
And again, if people are looking for details, go online, go to their website, Paradise Art Center.
Paradise-art-center.com.
There you go. And also on Facebook and on the community page, you can see some works in progress.
You certainly can. Mm-hmm.
All righty. Thank you guys so much. Have a great evening.
Okay, you too. Thank you.
Thanks.
And, of course, you're listening to Community Radio, 90.1 KZFR Chico, worldwide at KZFR.org. And you can conveniently go to that website, KZFR.org, give it a click, and you can donate and join us on our fall pledge drive. We've got a goal of $40,000. We'd love to have your support. We would love to have some first-time donors. It's painless. We've got all kind of cool thank you gifts. I personally do a monthly charge onto my credit card. And painless, absolutely painless. 10, 15 bucks a month, absolutely painless. And it's a nice chunk. It makes me feel good, and it helps support community media. So what else can there be? If you're a Venmo, you go at KZFR 901, and you can text as well, pledge KZFR to 44321. Operator standing by. And as previously mentioned, we've got the new, brand new KZFR socks. Two sizes, that's right, small, medium, large, extra large. And they're quite colorful, and you will be the thrill of every toe-tapping event you find yourself at.
Well, it's a pleasure to welcome just an all-around great guy, man. You've done so much community stuff. I've known you for years. Fassad Azad, owner of Azad's Martial Arts. Welcome to Butte Views and Beyond.
Hey, Ray, how are you doing? It's a pleasure to be here today, and thank you for your introduction. I appreciate you, man.
You know, I mean, I think a lot of people are familiar with the back-to-school drives you do, and as we head into winter, you've got a shoe drive coming up, which is a little unique. You know, you see coats and things like that, but why don't you tell us a little about it and how people can get involved?
Yeah, you got it. So about 20 years ago, I was in my office when I got a call from a school counselor here in Chico saying that, hey, Grandmaster, we have a couple of kids in the school who are in bad shape for shoes, for their clothing and all that. And I said, so what do we got? And she said, they need everything. And I said, well, what do they need? So the kids were in a foster situation and all that. They pretty much needed everything all the way up to underwear. And I was like, all right, I'll take care of them. So give me the size and gender and all that, and I'll go take care of it. And actually, I was surprised that they needed shoes because everybody pretty much got shoes. Even if you're going from point A to point B, you may not have the nicest shirt. Even as a kid, you know, you may not have the newest shirt or anything like that. But everybody got pretty much shoes. At least that's what I was under the impression of. And I found out that, no, these kids actually had shoes with their holes in it. You know, that, I mean, if they go in the puddle of water, water would just go straight up into their shoes and socks and feet. So I got them shoes, and I sat down with a whole bunch of different school officials and teachers at different times, sort of deliberately, intentionally. And I asked them, what percentage of their students do they see that they have a need for shoes, especially winter shoes?
Yeah.
And it was crazy. The numbers that I was getting from them was really high. So I was like, all right, so this needs to be something that needs to be addressed clearly, and we're going to do whatever we can. And first year we tried it, we did a community collection on that one in a way. Actually, first year I just bought it myself and all that. It was just a few. And then we did a community collection to involve the community, give everybody an opportunity to be part of our community's construct and well-being. And it didn't work out too well because everybody brought in a lot of used shoes. I was like, oh my God, I don't want to give this thing to the kids and all. So I took charge of it. So from that point on, ever since 20 years ago, I created a program called Give Me Some Soul. And S-O-L-E, it's the last soul, right? Give Me Some Soul, shoe drive. So what I did was that I'd go buy 300, 400, 500 pairs of shoes of different size and for girls and boys. And I would take them to different schools depending on the need. So if it was a high school, I clearly would take larger size shoes for boys and girls and the other way for little ones, for elementary school. And that worked out for several years. That worked out for about almost 15 years that I would do that every year, 400, 500 pairs of shoes. I take them from Concha Paradise, Chico, different places. I just give them to kids right about this time of the year when the rain is supposed to come in, right?
Sure.
So then we decided to open it up a little bit more to the community and involve the community even further. Which was really good. But what we did was a little bit different in this area. We changed our game plan. We turned it into almost like angel tree concept, right? We would get kids' names, foot size or shoe size, and male or female, right? From the schools or any other entity. And so what we did was that we have created this list in my school where people could come in and pick up a tag for a child. They could decide what school, they could decide the gender and the name and, you know, the size of the shoe. They could go buy that shoes, that pair of shoes, bring it in, put that tag on it, and we will make sure that that pair of shoes goes exactly to that kid. Okay. So this year, in the past couple of years, that's what we've been doing, and we've been getting a lot better results as opposed to just taking like 50 shoes to this school, 20 shoes to this school, and so on and so forth. So that's the nature of Give Me Some Soul shoe drive, so that we could all give some soul to the kids, both in S-O-U-L and S-O-L-E, so that we could lift up their spirit, so that the kids don't have to be concerned about walking from home to school and school to home in rain or in cold, in flip-flops or in shoes that are inappropriate for a child to go to school, not only to protect their self-esteem and their presence of mind and their feeling toward themselves, but also toward being focused in education, in their education, as opposed to being embarrassed about how their shoes are soaked or all that.
Sure. And and on top of that, you got the physical, they're too tight, my feet are wet.
That's right.
There's nothing worse than seeing your boots full of water the first, you know, and then you got 8 hours to go.
That's exactly right. Soaking shoes and soaking socks. And how are you going to think about, you know, your education right now? You're cold, you're shaking. So the whole idea is to elevate that element of spirit in our children. And by showing them that there are people in this community that seriously care, truly care, and that we'll do everything we can, and we don't want anything back. We just want to help them so that they learn that when they grow up, they do the same thing. And when they are in school, they do the same thing for another kid. Maybe not in buying the shoes, but in giving them a helping hand, in being a little bit nicer, in being a little bit more understanding, not tolerant. See, tolerance is something that is going to run out. We don't want tolerance. We want understanding and appreciation. So the message of my work in that area for kids, whether it wants to be in back to school supplies drive, Give Me Some Soul or Basket Brigade or any other program that we have, is to teach the kids, first of all, you're not alone. Second thing, there is hope. Third thing, concentrate on what needs to be done, not only for yourself, but also to help other people on the way to help yourself. And this way we could all elevate together in a better spirit and better energy and build a better community. Our motto in Azad is we build a better community one student at a time.
Yeah, no, that's, and it continues, and they pass that on, and other kids see it, you know, and it's infectious. You live by example. That's
totally.
That's it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I totally agree with that. Ray, you'd be amazed how many of our little guys that we've helped before are now school principals, are judges, are business owners, seriously successful business owners, and then also CEOs of NGOs all around the world in different countries, because they felt this energy of service, this energy of civic engagement, this energy of community service and helping others selflessly. So now they are, I can't tell you how many students I have who are now successful adults, working for NGOs for battered women in Ukraine, or for kibbutz in Israel, or in helping people with their education in Palestine, or in South Korea, or in Vietnam, or in Africa, providing water for kids, or in Brazil, having orphanages. I can't tell you, they're all over the place. That's fabulous. I love it.
Fabulous. Absolutely fabulous. You know, that one pebble makes those ripples, baby. That's for sure.
That's it. You're absolutely right. It's the ripple.
Yeah. So how would people get involved if they want to participate in the Angel program for the
beautiful, beautiful. Yeah. Thank you for asking for that. So this program ends on October 30th. Okay. So we want to get as many shoes in the hands of kids as possible. We still have 58 shoes, 58 kids that are not spoken for. So people could come to Azad's Martial Arts Center anytime between 2:30 PM and 7 PM. Monday through Thursday, and 3 to 6 p.m. on Friday to pick up these tags. Okay. And the tags are on the wall. We'll make sure that they get the one that they like. And all they have to do is just pick that up and go to their favorite shoe store here in town or online. This year, we've seen a lot of people actually going online and order things. And then once they get the shoes, we need to have them by October 30th because we're going to deliver all of these shoes to the kids on October 30th and or 31st. And then that's it. That's all that's all we ask them to do. And if somebody feels like they want to buy more shoes, that's great. We are helping a couple of hundred kids. This year, we had a family that came in with 10 pairs of shoes. So whatever you can afford, there's never too little of help in here, you guys. And we don't want any money for it. We just want you to pick up the tag and go and purchase the shoes the way you like it, in the quality that you like it. Just make sure it is rainproof and it is made for winter. So kids walk and be safe, walk to school and home and be safe in them. And all other than that, that's it. So we'd love to have you connect with us.
Very good. So they physically come to Azad's. And why don't you give your address there over on Walnut.
On Walnut. Yeah, so Azad's Martial Arts Center is located at 313 Walnut Street. We are right at the corner of 4th Street and Walnut, or North Avenue or Highway 32. They are all the same. So 4th Street and Walnut in Chico. We are right across from the 7-Eleven, and we've been there now almost 20 years in this location. So come on down and see us. We'd love to have you over there. We can't thank you enough. First of all, Ray, I can't thank you enough for giving me the platform to get this word out to people, to your listeners.
Thank you.
And second thing is that anybody out there that feels like they want to help, listen, this money that you spend will go to a kid that is here in our community. It doesn't go too far. It is right here. It stays in our community. We know what kid this goes to exactly. You would know what kid it goes to. And you would know exactly what school it goes to. So we have made that very transparent so that we all know where we want to help. If I want to help some kid and maybe a six-year-old girl in Sierra View, I can do that. If I want to help a kid in Little Chico Creek, I can do that. All of these are available to you. And we really urge you to come in and be part of this great event.
Oh, that's great. I love the I love the fact that you have the schools tied to it, because I'm sure there's people like, my kids go there, or I went. Yeah. So it's right. A way to give back and make it happen.
Truly, well, truly, that's true.
Thank you so much. And again, if you'd like to participate, let's give the address again, 313 Walnut.
Yes, 313, 313 Walnut Street, Suite 150. Once you come to 313 Walnut Street, you will see us. We are the main anchor in that shopping mall, shopping strip. We are right there at the corner of 4th and Walnut. If you have any issue to find a place, just call us at 892-AZAD, which is 2923. 892-AZAD, area code 530.
All right. Thank you, Rashad. Grandmaster.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here. Thank you.
All righty. We've got just a few minutes left. Got another quick interview for a fabulous event coming up. The Butte Environmental Council and the Butte County Local Food Network Duck Dinner. But first, I have to remind you that we are in our fall pledge drive, and we'd love to have your support for community-based media. It's a pretty special thing to have access for the community to talk about the different things that concern us and ways to help each other, and also to celebrate and to dance and to laugh and have fun and get information and all those wonderful things. And I know you know it because you're listening. And about 1 out of 10, maybe it's probably less than that, actually contribute. So we'd love for you to be that person. And we'd love for you to be the first-time person. Make yourself feel good. 895-530, the big 530, 895-0131. KZFR.org, you do it online. Text pledge KZFR to 44321 or at KZFR901 on Venmo. Very simple. Got some great thank you gifts. Got wonderful people to talk to. And thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We started in 1990. We're going to start our 34th year in just a few weeks. And it's all because of you.
Well, it's a pleasure to welcome back Rosemary Febo from the Butte County Local Food Network. And also Christopher Lopes, who is the co-owner, along with his dad, Bruce, of Lopes Family Farm. And Rosemary, tell us about the duck dinner.
Well, on November 11th at the Ark, as many of you know, Butte Environmental Council used to have this gala event at the Ark every year. And then, of course, pandemic hit and so forth. So the Butte County Local Food Network and Butte Environmental Council are bringing you a duck dinner 5 ways. And in case you don't know about the Butte County Local Food Network, our mission is to create a healthier, just, resilient, and regenerative local food system for Butte County and its food shed. And I know many of you know about Butte Environmental Council, and their mission is it's a grassroots-powered nonprofit, and they're very, very they've been around for 40 some years. I don't know. They have some events. And their mission is to protect and defend the land, air, and water of Butte County and the surrounding region through action, advocacy, and education. So with these two mission statements, you can't go wrong with helping our environment and our communities with food sustainability and sovereignty. And, you know, as food's getting so much more expensive, it's really important to learn how to grow some food. And we can help out. BCLocalFood.org. Join in our garden brigades, in our garden blitz, the market mobile where we support like 80 farmers. We buy food, take it to the burn scar areas of Amigalia, Concow, and Paradise, and we resell it. People can use their EBT. It's a great program. So this particular dinner with Donna Garrison and Alexander Chilenzik, who's been a great chef around town for many years. They're heading up the duck dinner.
And what's the date? Give us a date and all these things.
Yeah, November 11th. And you can go on the BC localfood.org website, and you can order tickets from there.
And it's going to be at the Ark Pavilion?
It'll be at the Ark Pavilion, yeah, which is off of Park Avenue there. Sure. All that information will be. And we have all kinds of other events, but Thank goodness for Lopes Family Farm, because they are providing us with a wonderful duck that we will be serving 5 ways.
Duck 5 ways. Well, Christopher, tell us about what you guys are doing over there at Lopes Family Farms.
Yeah, we've been farming for rice for over 100 years now. I'm a fourth generation farmer, and we're small time in terms of rice. We have 200 acres, and it all just became fully certified organic this season, but we've been doing organic farming for about 23 years now on the 60 acres of our home piece. We got into it. Well, I discovered it back in 2015 during a walk while working at Glenn Medical Center. I'm an X-ray tech and a CT tech full time to pay the bills.
Day job.
And yeah, that's my day job. I moonlight as a farmer full time. we discovered it though back in 2015. Mr. Furuno, he's a Japanese rice farmer. He figured out that the more ducks he had in his field, the better off his rice was. There was just less weeds. The rice seemed to grow healthier. So instead of shooing the ducks away, he started in fencing them in, and his crops just started improving massively compared to his neighbors. And instead of working against nature, he started working with nature, and he found there's much deeper benefits to using the ducks in the system. So when I found his PhD dissertation, The One Duck Revolution, I became obsessed with it, and that was back in 2015. So my friends had to listen to me talk about it for about 5 years, all the time, to the point where, yeah, they could probably recite most of it too. But back in 2020, when the drought was getting really bad and we had some downtime, I told my dad that we got to pivot the farm, otherwise we're probably going to go under. So he was on board right away. We started ordering equipment from China. We got our transplanter, some tray makers, and a cultivator. And we got to work reorganizing our land. We remodeled one of our fields. It was 17 acres, and we turned it into a 1 acre duck pond and 5 3-acre fields, so we can do a lot more experimentation with new farming practices and varieties of rice, because we're just trying to dial in the most, you know, environmentally sustainable way to grow rice is what our goal is. Organic rice is amazing, but the issue is you got to use deeper water to drown the weeds out.
Okay.
Since you can't use herbicides, and during a drought, that's not the most sustainable thing, ironically. Sure. So with the duck method, we are able to use much less water, up to 2/3 less water. It seems. Yeah, it's incredible. We didn't know that at first. It was only when we did our first year back in 2022 that we realized that extra benefit that I didn't even notice when I was reading the PhD dissertation or anything. It didn't pop up. Because over there in Japan, they transplant their rice, so they get a month of water savings all the time. They grow their rice in trays, kind of like sod.
Okay.
And then they transplant those trays with the machine in row, like with nice spacing. It's like a grid pattern. So normally over here, we just fly the rice on after we flood the fields, and then spends a month trying to make its way above the water. But when you grow the rice in trays, you grow it to 3 inches tall right there in a small footprint. We can do 15 acres of rice in 4,000 square feet of trays.
Wow.
Christopher, tell them about your sushi rice.
Oh, sake rice. The sake rice, sake, yes. Yeah. So because another benefit of the duck rice method and transplanting in general is we use a lot less seed. So we were approached by Sequoia Sake out of San Francisco. They've been trying to get sake rice grown in California for their production. Normally they've just been using Cal Rose all these decades for sake production. There's no sake rice in America except for Arkansas. Isbell Farms, they've been doing it for a few years now. And they kind of got late in the season. They've had this seed they've been selectively breeding for 3 years, and they went to go find a farmer to grow it, and no one wanted to do it because they were going to risk the entire seed bank. And we were able to do it because we only used 30 pounds of seed per acre, and they out of the 650 pounds they had. So we went for it. We took a gamble, and we'll have the first organic omachi in America, which is incredible. And we're hoping to help the craft sake industry in that way.
Well, any support of the sake industry is okay with me, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And we will have a silent auction at the, Christopher, but we will have a sake on the silent auction at the dinner as well. So you'll have a chance to bid on that.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. We're going to have 6 or 8 bottles of Sequoia Sake, Zomachi sake there. And that's the variety of rice that it was created from. And that's what we're growing. It's the oldest variety of sake rice. It's what all the sake varieties were descended from, going back to 1859.
So the ducks that are going to be at the dinner are part of your working duck pond.
Yep.
Duck farm. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. We raised 500 ducks this year. We had Muscovy and Pekins, and they're the most amazing ducks you've ever seen. They're happy ducks too. They're flying around having a great time. They just have a full reign of their 1 acre duck pond there.
Nice.
And the rice fields, up until 90 days before harvest, we got to pull them out of the field due to the food safety reasons and all that stuff. But yeah, no, they'll be, they're organic duck and free range, and you know, they're healthy and delicious.
Sure. They really are delicious.
Do they inhabit it year round, or is this a seasonal thing? How does that work?
It's a seasonal thing. So with the rice transplanting, the transplants being 3 inches tall, if we had 15-pound Muscovies in that field when we planted those, they would stomp it out. But normally with the duck rice method, when you introduce the ducklings into the field, they treat the rice as their habitat and their security.
Right.
The rice stems themselves have high silica content, and their duck bills they're just sensitive to that. They know it's not going to digest well, so they just eat the weeds around the rice, and they eat the bugs, and they fertilize as they go through the field. So you just get a constant fertilization as you go through the season. You don't really get that in organic systems. You fertilize at the beginning of the season, and that's usually it, unless you want to spend a bunch more money to top dress.
That sounds fabulous. Well, we're getting low in time, so let's wrap it up here. Rose, you want to give us a little bit quick details on the menu? And this is going to be on November 11th.
November 11th from 5 to 9. And again, you can go on bclocalfood.org and order tickets from there. And I mean, we're going to have a little a silent auction. We're going to have some music for you to enjoy. And of course, it benefits both of you and Environmental Council and the Butte County Local Food Network. And on the duck dinner five ways, there's going to be duck liver pate with a fig compote, roasted duck French onion soup, duck confit salad and with candied pecans and cranberry maple vinaigrette, grilled duck breast with peach and blueberry sauce, and duck fat potatoes, roasted cauliflower, and the dessert hasn't been determined yet, but there'll be a dessert too. So yeah, it's going to be a fabulous dinner. And if you think you don't like duck, I'm telling you, you will go away a believer after this dinner.
I agree. When you've had duck done right, it's fantastic. So
yeah,
well, thank you guys for taking time with us. And again, all the info is on the Butte County Local Food Network website?
Yes, it is. bclocalfood.org.
There you go. All righty. We're just about finished up here at Butte Views and Beyond. Don't forget, it is Fall Pledge Drive. We'd love to have your support. 530-895-0131. We also want to thank DA Lampe Construction, a proud supporter of KZFR and Community Radio in Northern California. More information, visit DA Lampe, LAMPE construction.com, and also by Mountain Sports, providing outdoor clothing and equipment for hiking, backpacking, camping, traveling, and enjoying the great outdoors. Mountain Sports, open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m., 5:30 p.m. at 176 East 3rd Street in downtown Chico, serving Chico and the North State since 1979. KZFR.org, click on the donate tab. You'll see all of the great thank you gifts. Peanut butter and jelly time coming up in seconds. And of course, for the Venmo,
at KZFR 901 or text pledge KZFR to 44321. Thank you so much for your support. And we got electrocuted there. Are you ready? And a one.
Yeah.
And a two. And a...
It's peanut butter jelly time.
Peanut butter jelly time.
Peanut butter jelly time.
Yeah.